and a photographer falls down as Bieber drives off. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into a special edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're actually on location, so you probably notice in the back of me we don't have the normal background that we have for the radio broadcast or for the live webcast out on sermonaudio.com. And by the way, let me say right there at the top of the broadcast that you can then watch now the program as well as listen to the program on Christian Talk 660. We now have it available out there on sermonaudio.com. And that is to go directly to my page on sermonaudio.com. It's www.sermonaudio.com/knowingthetruth. You can get to it from there, or you can get to it actually from the homepage of Sermon Audio as well. It'll say right on the homepage of Sermon Audio that there is a live webcast in progress, and if you click on that, it'll open up the page for you to be able to watch the program as well. And thankfully, the program is a lot more than just me sitting there talking. We have guests that are involved in multiple cameras, so you'll be able to see the guests during the conversation as well. And, of course, Jim Moline has done a tremendous job of including some graphics in the program as well. So it'll be a lot more than you just watching me, you know, a talking head there on the broadcast. So I invite you to go ahead and do that. All of the audio and video are available after the program for free download, so you can take advantage of those things that way as well. Let me tell you where we're going on the broadcast today. Well, first I should tell you where we're at and then where we're going. We're over here at the TD Convention Center, and we're going to be here all week. In fact, we'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday doing live broadcasts from over here at the TD Convention Center. And what's taking place is, what's the Reformed Community without an acronym? So here's the acronym for you. We're over here at the PCAGA. So that's the way I'll refer to it. PCA stands for, of course, the Presbyterian Church in America. And the GA is what's referred to as their General Assembly. And so we're at the General Assembly. So there's very scholarly meetings that are taking place in many of the other rooms here, and a lot of decisions being made. And we'll talk about that as we go on throughout the week. But there is also a tremendous exhibit hall that has a number of great publishers and ministries that are represented here. And that's what I want to give you a flavor of as we go throughout the week as well. I want to talk to some of the folks that are in that exhibit hall that have come from, some from all over the world. In fact, the folks that we have on the broadcast today have come all the way from Scotland. And so we'll be talking with them about what's taking place in their ministry and their publishing house. There's where we're going on the broadcast. Tomorrow we'll be joined by World Magazine. I'll have some other guests woven in along the way as well. But there's where we're going. We won't be taking calls the way that we normally do. Normally I give you a nationwide toll-free number, but we're not going to do that, just not set up for that on the remote location. So with that, I've got the brochure here in my hand from the PCAGA. It's going on from June 18th until the 21st, right here at the TD Convention Center over off of Pleasantburg here in Greenville, South Carolina. I believe the exhibit hall is open to the public. So if you want to come over and just go through the exhibit hall, you don't need to have registered or anything like that. There are other events that are taking place. For instance, Dr. Sproul is going to be part of a panel discussion tomorrow with Sinclair Ferguson and others, speaking on the great subject of Christology in that panel discussion. That panel discussion is sold out. There was some standing room only availability, so you just have to check with Ligonier. I have been advertising for that for the last couple of weeks, and it's now sold out on the website. Check it out, though. They give you a number there on Ligonier's webpage, www.ligonier.org, under their events section, and they'll give you some information if you want to come just stand in order to listen into the seminar or the panel discussion that will take place. Also, I saw that Lig Duncan is going to be involved in one as well, I think with Tim Keller. And so that's going to be on Thursday night. We're going to try to get in on that. We'll be talking to Lig Duncan later on this afternoon, and so we'll ask him about that discussion with Tim Keller on Thursday as well. Okay, let's go to our discussion here today. Today I have both William and Karen McKenzie with me that we're going to do an interview with them. Folks, it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Thank you very much.
It's wonderful to be here. It's good of you to take the time to listen and watch.
Excellent. All the way from Scotland. So, William, let me turn to you first. Tell us a little bit about Christian Focus Publishing, which is your publishing house. Maybe a little bit about how you got started, how many years you've been in existence, what sort of presence do you have here in the States, those types of things. Just tell us a little bit about yourself and about the ministry.
Well, I'm one of four brothers, and all of us had, with our wives, had children, thankfully. And we were concerned that our children would come to know Jesus at an early stage.
Amen.
And that was and still is the burden of our ministry. But we couldn't find children's books that told the Bible story as it is and told them that the only way for them to find what they were looking for was in Jesus Christ. So we couldn't get anybody to write for us. But eventually I prevailed on my wife, and she wrote our first book about 40 years ago. It was a hobby at that time. I was, and still am, a farmer in the north of Scotland. And at that time I was concerned about growing food for the body. But as things progressed, we became more concerned about food for the soul. At that time we were doing two or three books a year, and we were thankful for that. Now we're probably doing about 80 different books a year in more than 80 languages, and the Lord has opened doors for us and used sinners like myself.
Praise the Lord. What type of farm? You mentioned farming. I'm just interested in what type of farm do you have?
Well, we grow about 2,000 ton of wheat and about 2,000 ton of barley, and we produce about 1,500 lambs. And if you ever want some good Scottish lamb, come here.
Excellent. We actually grind our own wheat at my house. And so my wife's a miller, we call her now. So she is grinding the wheat and oats and so forth as well. So appreciate what you're doing there in Scotland. Karen, your husband mentioned that first book. Do you remember? That was 150-plus books ago. Do you remember what that first book was?
That book is still in print. It's called Gideon, A Soldier for God. And I remember writing it in my kitchen with my youngest daughter just as a little baby beside me. She is now a mother of five children, so that book's been in print for 30-plus years. And we tried to tell the Bible story as it is, to have illustrations that were realistic and to have an application to the child's life. And most importantly, to emphasize that all the Bible stories are pointing to the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us.
Amen. We've mentioned children a couple times. Maybe we better ask, how many grandchildren are we talking, and is there any great-grandchildren?
No, we've got three daughters. Two of them are married, actually, to two brothers, and one daughter has three children, and the other daughter has five children.
Okay.
So they range in age from 15 down to almost three.
Excellent. I will have five grandchildren myself here very shortly. One's being adopted from Eastern Europe, and then another one is about to give birth out west. Her husband's deployed in the military, so he's on the battlefield, and she's going to be giving birth. And so my wife is going to go out there to be with her while she's giving birth. So, but that's out west.
There's a verse in the Scottish metrical psalms, which is what we were brought up with, singing the psalms every day, which says, children are the heritage of God, and the womb's fruit is his reward.
Amen. And we just we sing psalms a little bit in our church as well. We're just beginning to reintroduce them, and we just sang Psalm 1. And I love that tune to Psalm 1. It just goes so well. And I just did an interview with a fellow who wrote a book about the Psalms again and why they are so important to be a part of our regular gathering of the church on the Lord's Day.
Well, we would have sung Psalms every morning and every evening in family worship since I was a child. And of course, what happens as a result of that, they become part of you. We don't have to learn them, and yet we know them, and we learn our theology from what we sing. And that's God's songbook.
Amen. That was what we were noting in that interview that I did, that it gives us the language for prayer was one of the things. And also, obviously, a tremendous amount of doctrine is taught in the Psalms. I actually, and I saw the book on your table when I was looking through there, but you had one about Psalm 119. And I used that book in my research. I taught through every one of the 176 verses of Psalm 119. Took us years as a congregation, but most congregations wouldn't put up with that. The congregation that we have, a small congregation that just loves the study of God's Word, at the end of it they said, more. We want more.
There was a man who was concerned, wondering whether he was a Christian or not, and his minister said to him, go to Psalm 119 and see if you find yourself there. And he went to Psalm 119, he read it verse by verse, and he was not finding himself until he came to the last verse. I, like a lost sheep, went astray, thy servant seek and find.
Yeah, when we got to that last verse, it was on the surface appeared to be anticlimactic. You know, we're like, well, wouldn't this end with a crescendo? Here it's ending with us as sinners in need of grace. And this is the Christian life. We're constantly going to the cross and looking to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only did we mention children a number of times already in the conversation, but you've been very specific in the way that you talk about the books holding tightly to the Word of God. And we talked a little bit about that you couldn't find books like this in the beginning 35 years ago when you started this ministry. Has there been pressure, a temptation over the years to so many other publishers have gone in a different direction, trying to be hip and cool and everything in between and trying to add something to the Bible that's not there? Have you felt that pressure and temptation and yet you've resisted it and the Lord has blessed that throughout the years? Is that a fair testimony?
Yes, I think some people very often ask us, what can we pray for you? And often the request that we make for prayer is that we be kept faithful to God's word and not be diverted into being market driven, that God's word is what drives us or what we would wish would drive us.
It's the word that does the work, right? And it's the word that the people need in their lives in order to feed them, like you were saying. I'll be preaching this next week on Hebrews 4:12, 16, I think, with the, the verse escapes me, but the Word of God is quick and powerful and any sharper than any two-edged sword, 12, right? And we've been going right through that section there in Hebrews chapter 4. But that says it about the Word of God, and it gives us the importance of getting the Word out teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. That's what you're seeking to do in these books?
Yeah, Mr. Spurgeon said, just let the lion out of the cage. It can defend itself.
Amen.
And that's what we're seeking to do. We will put a different jacket on the book. We will use various kinds of language, but it's the Word, faithfulness to the inerrancy of Scripture and the finality of Christ. That's what we, by God's grace, would wish to do.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with William and Karen McKenzie from Christian Focus Publishing. We're going to talk a little bit here about some of the books that they have published. Karen herself has written 150 at least. I don't know if it's gone beyond that. At least 150 children's books. Many people are very much familiar with her books, and many homeschoolers I know for a fact have used her materials. So it's been a tremendous blessing to the church, and so now we're learning about more of their ministry here. We're going to continue in that discussion here. Let me ask you a little bit. Karen, why don't I start with you? You've got a couple of books here that maybe I could ask you. You've got this one that I think is something that you're very proud of and was seemed to be one of the bigger projects that you worked on. Tell us a little bit about this book.
This probably is the biggest project I've worked on. It took many months of work. This is the 150th book, actually. And it's going through the Bible stories, some very well known, some less well known. And as it says in the front, the good news from Genesis to Revelation about Jesus, the good news of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. So each story we're trying to point to the Lord Jesus and what he has done. There's 365 stories, and it's a resource for children, but I would say even more, it's a resource for parents. We're very keen that mums and dads would remember their responsibility to teach their children about the gospel. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job or necessarily the preacher's job. It's mum's and dad's job to teach the child about the Lord Jesus.
Just having celebrated Father's Day over here, that's a good message. I notice in the title that it speaks of speaking of Jesus in Genesis. A lot of folks, and maybe your book brings this out, but a lot of folks, that's a new concept for them, that Christ is in the Old Testament scriptures, even though he says it himself.
Yes, he's all through it. I remember when he was speaking with the two on the way to Emmaus, he told them from all the scriptures about himself. Mm-hmm. So he's in the Bible from page one.
And do you seek to do that in the passages that you look at in the Old Testament? Is there a Christological element to it?
Yes. That's the main focus of the book.
Excellent. Finding that, and I'm surprised in our day and age, well, maybe I shouldn't be surprised in our day and age with the low level of Bible knowledge, but I'm surprised at the number of people that come to me and say, I never really thought about that. I've actually had somebody come in my church at one point, and the church that I pastor, I should say, and they said to me that they're not sure why we even need the Old Testament anymore. And I said, are you kidding me? But this is where we're at in our day and age. And so then we began to really go through the Old Testament and show Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. That's very important.
Somebody said that, you know, in Britain, all roads lead to London, and every verse of scripture leads to Christ.
Amen.
And
that's an excellent way to put it. What other books do you have there from children?
This is one of the bigger books.
Okay.
The tiniest books is this one here, my first book of questions and answers. And this, it doesn't say the word catechism on it, but it is basically a catechism. Very simple, basic questions about the Christian faith, which are for the child to learn. But again, it's important if parents are going through this with their children, and some parents have actually said to us, we have learned doctrine from this. So it's the basic doctrines put very simply for the youngest child.
Is the character on here, is that unique to Christian Focus?
Yes. People think he's
Calvin,
yes. He's not actually, but he's kind of like him, but there's this little pictures throughout it for children to look at as they're as they're learning.
Oh, that's excellent. I think the 106 catechism questions, 107, they were originally written for children.
Yes, and now the shorter catechism was for children and for those of lower intellect. Those of higher intellect were supposed to learn the larger catechism. But this is something like the shorter catechism, mm-hmm. or the mother's catechism, which was produced in Scotland many years ago. Mm. But it's...
They had the Shorty, who was part of G.I. Williamson's books, right? And he created little characters. So this is a little bit more developed. I think his was almost a stick figure. I think he was a better writer than he was artist. But that is an excellent idea. I've often said about the shorter catechism that there's a lot of preachers who don't know the doctrine that are in that shorter catechism, and yet here it was written for children.
It's a very, very useful document. It puts doctrine so concisely,
yes.
And it is easily memorized if you start young. We were brought up as children learning the shorter catechism, and our own children were too, and... I think you appreciate it more as you go older, mm-hmm. when you can go back to it and get a precise definition for things like repentance and
Amen.
Effectual calling and sanctification.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Theology is precise.
It's okay. I'm going to ask our interviewer a question. Turn the tables. What is repentance? You mentioned repentance.
Oh.
What is repentance? And there's talk at this General Assembly about repentance.
Yes.
And the life, the sanctification.
Right.
The Shorter Catechism has it.
Oh.
What is repentance? And this is the answer. Repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto Christ with full purpose and endeavor after new obedience. That's not bad, is it?
Not bad at all. That is excellent. Boy, it's in there. Yeah, isn't that something? That is fantastic. And that every word tells in that catechism. The words were carefully selected. Nothing is in there just to fill space. Everything has a specific meaning. I try to boil it down to three simple points with repentance. Repentance is that there is a recognition that you have sinned against God. There is a remorse. You're actually sorry for sinning against God. And then there's a repudiation of the sin, that you take steps to never do it again. So I take that catechism answer, which is much fuller. The larger catechism would go even further, and try to just put it in those three simple points.
The great thing about repentance is the place of Christ in it. Mm. He is the giver. He has ascended, a prince and a savior, to give repentance and remission of sins.
Mm.
Repentance is a sweet grace.
Amen.
And repentance has as its essence this apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ,
mm-hmm.
this seeing what happened at Calvary for me, and that changes me.
Mm-hmm. And so much better than that popish notion of penance, that we would have to pay for the remission of our sins. Jesus paid it all the him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And so we flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good place for us to take just a short commercial break. We have we'll be back in our conversation here with both William and Karen McKenzie. Continue to talk about their work there at Christian Focus Publishing. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're
stay
listening
tuned.
To Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Charles Darwin noted a conundrum in his theory of evolution, the rapid appearance of animal life. On the next Janet Mefford Show, Dr. Stephen Meyer joins me to tackle the Cambrian explosion. His new book is called Darwin's Doubt. And citizen journalist James O'Keefe has mastered the art of challenging the establishment. He'll stop by to tell his story in his new book, Breakthrough, Our Guerrilla War to Expose Fraud and Save Democracy. All next time on the Janet Mefford Show.
This afternoon from 3 to 5 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9. Was the Earth created to look old? This is Kent Ham, author, speaker, and blogger on Science and the Bible. When dealing with the age of the Earth, some people defend the young Earth position by claiming that even though the Earth is young, God created it to look old. They say, well, God gave the Earth the appearance of age. You know, God created things that were fully functional from the beginning. Those things are mature, but not old. Many times when people claim the Earth or universe looks old, it's because they've been indoctrinated by secularists to think it's old. If this is how a supposedly old Earth looks, then how did it appear when it was young? You see, God is not a deceiver. He cannot lie. Scripture tells us that God originally created many things mature and fully functional, not to look old.
You'll learn more about the age of the Earth when you visit our award-winning website at answersingenesis.org and check out our future Noah's Ark at answersingenesis.org.
Personal Defense Outfitter is here to help you equip, train, and defend. We offer quality handguns, shotguns, and rifles with competitive pricing and a family-friendly atmosphere. We also offer training classes, including CWP, with highly trained instructors who make the classes enjoyable and informative. Whether you're looking to equip yourself with a quality firearm or seeking training, come by Personal Defense Outfitter, 12 South Main Street, Travelers Rest, or call 864-601-2097. That's Personal Defense Outfitter, your home to equip, train, and defend.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back to the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Today we're broadcasting live from the TD Convention Center here in Greenville, South Carolina. And the TD Convention Center is the home place, at least for the next couple of days, for the PCAGA, and that stands again for the Presbyterian Church in America, and their General Assembly that is taking place here, which means the elders and leaders of the church come from all over the country, in fact, from other countries as well. And they meet here in order to decide on certain issues that are before the church as a whole, before the Presbyterian Church in America as a whole. And so they come from all over to have various meetings on these subjects and so forth. Those meetings are taking place even as we speak. Associated with that, there's also an exhibit hall. And in the exhibit hall, an expansive exhibit hall, I should say, as well, a number of different folks are there with different ministries and different helps for the church and so forth. We're visiting here on the broadcast today with the folks from Christian Focus Publishing. And I had their website here. It's christianfocus.com. So it's all one word, christianfocus.com. You can go out to their website in order to find out a lot more about their ministry. What we found out in the first segment of the program here was that their ministry is highly biblical. And you might say, highly biblical. Come on, we're talking about Christian publishing house. Believe me, it's unique. I get books sent to me from publishers all across the country. And to tell you the truth, some of them end up in that file cabinet under my desk. I'm talking about the garbage can. They're not biblical at all. And so it's actually becoming more and more rare, unfortunately, in our day and age, to have Christian publishers that are faithful to the Word of God. What we're learning here from our guests here today, William and Karen McKenzie, is that their ministry is built upon the foundation of God's Word. And the books that they produce then are carefully selected in order to adhere to that standard. We learned from Karen here in the first segment, primarily we were learning that the children's books that she has produced, and that's 150 of them, 150 books there are tied very closely to children learning about the Word of God. And even more specifically, we were talking about catechizing, a word today that I should take a microphone out on the street and just ask people, what is catechizing? That would be an interesting program. But it was the idea that very succinct little statements, very carefully chosen and developed by the Westminster Divines in this case, talking about the Westminster Confession of Faith and its associated catechism, very carefully chosen in order to teach doctrine to children. Her books and some of the books, other books that they have at Christian Focus, help parents to do that. So if you're a homeschooling parent or you're a parent that just wants to teach the Word of God to your children, there are many resources there through Christian Focus, many of them that have been written by Karen herself, in order to help you do that. There's a coloring book on the catechism, on the Westminster Confession of Faith and the associated catechism. There is actually some little catechisms themselves that have just, the wording is a little bit more simplistic for children. I saw that there was a word search, so there's some fun activity in order to drive the catechism home. I think William must have had this because he just quoted the one about repentance verbatim from the catechism, being taught that in the home. Here he is just a little bit above being a child now. I'm not going to put an age on it, but he could still, from memory, quote that that catechism. Believe me, these come back in your life over and over again, personally, in witnessing the gospel message to people. It comes back, it'll reap great rewards. So Karen, I was finishing up on the last segment, looking at a couple of your books. Why don't we go ahead and go through a couple more that you have here, and then I want to switch over to a couple of the other ones that William is holding as well.
This one here is called Little Hands, Life of Jesus, and it's a very simple story about various aspects of Jesus' life and his teaching, the parables, the miracles, with a simple picture, short story, something for the child to find in the picture, a little question to answer, and then a little bit of teaching. And it's a help and a resource for children, for parents of very young children, up to about five. And this other one is called How God Changes People, Conversion Stories from the Bible. Conversion is God's work, and he does it in different ways with different people. And I've used the various characters from the Bible, Lydia, Paul, Zacchaeus, to name just a few, and told their stories on how God changed their lives. We start off the book with a definition of what conversion is, and then use the Bible stories to illustrate how God does that.
Excellent. Here at the conference, we're talking about conversion, and conversion being monogistic, that it is all of God. Sanctification has become a big issue in the PCA right now. And some saying that sanctification is also only monogistic and not looking at it being synergistic, where man and God, man, of course, via the Holy Spirit, is enabled by God to be able to cooperate with God in sanctification. William, that might make a good transition then for us to talk a little bit about that topic. Is sanctification monogistic or synergistic? And where do you come down on that?
Here's an illustration that will help. You're in a storm in the sea. You've been rescued from drowning and put on a rock at the bottom of a large, high cliff. And there's a rope coming down this cliff. And for you to get to the top, you have to climb up this rope. And you're struggling. You're trying as hard as you can at the bottom of the cliff on this rope. But were it not for the person at the top of the cliff pulling you up, you would never get there. God works in us to bring us to what he wants us to be. We are his workmanship. But we have to do, as Samuel Rutherford said, put off sin or part of a sin every day.
Some of the teaching today seems to be along the line of the old Keswick movement, the holiness, but also the statement that came out of the Keswick movement was let go, let God. So any sort of effort on our part, any sort of exertion or diligence was frowned upon. And it almost seems like some folks today, even within the PCA, are saying that same type of thing. But that's not really a biblical position, right?
We have a little book called The Mortification of Sin. It was published originally and written by John Owen, the great Puritan. But it has a wonderful introduction from J.I. Packer. And the first words of that introduction are, "I owe more to this little book than to any other book apart from the Bible." And it's all to do with you and I having to deal with sin on a daily basis.
I saw in J.C. Ryle's book on holiness as well, the introduction written there. Not sure if Packer had an involvement in that as well, but it talked all about the Keswick movement, and I was just surprised at how much correlation there was to what's taking place now as well as that. You have that J.I. Packer book here, don't you?
No, I thought this one.
Tell us a little bit about this. Is this one of the latest works by J.I. Packer?
This is just new, actually, from J.I. Packer. He has taken 9 of the Puritans and given us an introduction to each of them, which sets the scene and also makes the connection between their time and ours. And Packer, in his inimitable style, makes it fresh and interesting. One of the things that has impacted me just last week, I read it 3 times, was a little thing from Matthew Henry, which is referred to in here, the pleasantness of a religious life. And what he is saying, in essence, Matthew Henry, and he gives 12 reasons why the religious life is the best. It's better than anything else, whatever your circumstances. Don't judge whether God is for you by your circumstances. God is for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Judge whether God is for us by Calvary.
Is there, you mentioned John Owen, but there's a number of portraits you said. Any other one come to mind?
There's the Heavenly Footman from Bunyan.
Yeah.
There's Keeping the Heart by John Flavel, which actually is very important, in my view, for those in leadership and in ministry. We can have all the outward trimmings, but it's what we are inside. It's what we are before God, what we are on our knees at the throne of grace, that's really important. It's not what you think of me. It's not what the listener or the watcher thinks of me. It's thou God seest me, and it's what I am before God that's really important.
Amen. I talked about being in Hebrews chapter 4 and the following verse after the one we quoted before is all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so, as you mentioned, you know, the facade we could put on for our friends and our spouses and pastors or whoever, but ultimately we're accountable before Almighty God. And we have to keep that in mind. And if we do keep that in mind, then we'll be having a true biblical picture on this. You had another book here about the ascension. And I have said in my ministry for a number of years that it's probably one of the most ignored doctrines in all the Word of God. It seems we celebrate Easter. People put on grand cantatas and so forth for Easter. And then after that, we put all the Easter stuff away. Okay, we'll get back to it next year. And nobody ever gets around to speaking about the ascension. So I was so happy to see that there's a book now about this from Tim Chester. And so tell us a little bit about this book.
We are excited that God came as a baby. We're amazed that we're saved from God, by God, at Calvary. We're delighted and thankful that he triumphed over death. He rose again so that we can say, O death, where is thy sting? We can address the grave of our friend and say, O grave, where is thy victory? You've lost it. But why do we forget that there's a man, the dust of earth, on the throne of heaven. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, is there, our intercessor, and he's waiting for us to join him.
Amen. And for all eternity, there'll be a man at the right hand of God, right? So pleading on our behalf for all eternity. So that union with Christ then is another aspect of that when we think about Christ being exalted there. Excellent, excellent book. You've got another one, and this one has a foreword by Kevin DeYoung, of course, a very popular writer today, but one about the family worship in the Christian home. Foreign topic, I think, in today's society.
Well, if there's a listener or a watcher who's not having family worship, take care and start it today. Family worship is more important than our communities of believers have recognized. It takes 5 minutes or 20 minutes, but you're together acknowledging who God is. I give this book in draft form to an Anglican bishop in North America. He wrote me a letter. Wonderful. I started family worship yesterday. You know, don't be put off by the complexities of it, but together as a family, read and pray. And coming from my background, I would say sing as well. But a neglected grace. This is only out about a month, and it has already impacted families. So I would suggest that if you're not doing family worship, whether there's two of you or 22, whether there's visitors on your home or whatever, have family worship. I would say twice a day, but have it at least once a day. What's the most important thing for your family or for your children? That they have a good career? That they have a good health? Or that they have eternal life? You know the answer to that. We all know the answer to that. What's our priority? Christ first, because, as Charnock the Puritan said, nothing less than Christ will satisfy. And once you find him, nothing more could be desired.
Amen. The hymn writer, none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and joy and everlasting life, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Amen. Excellent. I was going to ask you to tell us a little bit about that author, Jason, there. What's his background? I'm not familiar with his name.
Do you,
is he here?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Okay.
Jason Helopoulos. Is assistant pastor of URC Church, East Lansing, Michigan, married to Leah. They have two children, Gretchen and Ethan.
Okay, URC. I think Daniel Hyde is URC as well, and I've done some interviews with him. What other books do you have there? You've got, what is this one?
This is one from James Montgomery Boyce and Phil Ryken. They worked on this together. And it's the seven last words of Jesus on the cross and the seven words that he spoke after he rose again. And it's called 14 words. I give this to a minister 2 weeks ago at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He finished it that day and he said to me a few days later, I was different. I preached differently. It's a lovely, easily read book on the great event of history, on the great person of history before and after Calvary.
Amen. I bet you maybe we check that minister's site on sermon audio. He probably preached those 14 words the Sunday after that, maybe.
There's no such thing as copyright, provided you copyright.
I remember a woman came up to John MacArthur and said, you know, that she was a little bit annoyed that he had been taking his, that John MacArthur had been taking her pastor's sermons and re-preaching them.
We've done a book about a year ago. It's the biography of Matthew Henry. And there's a lot of new research went into it. And it shows, you know, the great statement which is apparently used or attributed to Jim Elliot, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, it was not an original thought from Jim Elliot. It was actually from Matthew Henry's father. And in that book, it's shown clearly that both Whitfield and Wesley used Matthew Henry's commentary and used his sentences and his phrases in their sermons. It's a lovely book by Alan Harmon from Australia.
Excellent. I was telling your wife I had a chance to interview Bert Elliott, and I was drawing a contrast between, and then Bert Elliott died subsequently. I went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. And in that program, I did a contrast between Jim Elliott, five days on the mission field, and then goes home to be with the Lord, and then his brother, Bert, in Trujillo, Peru, where I met him, went into his home, did an interview with him there. And here he was 40, 50 years on the mission field, faithfully teaching the Word of God in season, out of season. So two different, completely different types of ministries, and yet both of them doing the work that God had called them to do. What's the next book that you have there?
This is The Cross and the Experience of Our Lord by Ari Finlayson. He was the professor of systematic theology at the Free Church College in Edinburgh. He died about 40 years ago. And it has beautiful, fresh insights into what was happening to Jesus on the cross. And there's a lovely two pages on the scapegoat story from the Old Testament, showing how that was telling us something about what was happening to the Lord Jesus, who drank the cup of the wrath of God, bore our sin and his own body on the tree, and again focuses us on the centrality of that event. The gospel in five words: Christ died for the ungodly.
I saw the foreword to that is written by Carl Truman as well, and I've had Carl on the program before about his doctrine about spin, his book on spin, and so most of the time I can't figure out what Carl's saying. You know, he talks in such, he's so intellectual, and I'm not, and so I can't quite figure it out, but I think just in a foreword I should be able to get what he's saying there.
That's right, yes. No. Carl's a good fellow. You've got a problem if you can't understand him.
He's so lofty.
Here's what he says. This is what Carl Truman says. Here is faithful preaching which seeks to go beyond the normal parameters of preaching on Christ and yet remain faithful. Indeed, more faithful by virtue of that fact to the Christ not only of Paul, but of the gospel narratives too.
Looks very interesting. I have this one, I think, sitting on my desk at home, waiting to do an interview with the author. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to set that up yet, but it looks very interesting. Tell us a little bit about this book.
We spoke earlier in the interview about the neglect of the Old Testament. I don't think they should be called old and new anyway. I think it's just one book we have, and there just happens to be a few pages in the middle that we seem to divide it. But it's one Bible, or as the other man said, the old is in the new revealed and the new is in the old concealed. It's all one. And this book is to help particularly young people to realize that it is one, that you understand John's gospel better if you understand Genesis better. You understand Deuteronomy better if you understand Hebrews better if you understand the Old Testament books. And it's just showing that it's one volume. The Bible is one book, one story. This guy lives in the Cayman Islands. 66 books, one story. Sorry about that. A guide to every book in the Bible. Now, one of our customers took 100 copies to a homeschool convention and sold them all at the one convention. So this is a very helpful book for that purpose.
I think so too. It looks very interesting. We're under 5 minutes on the broadcast, probably four at this point. So let me give each of you just a one-minute summary. Just what would you say to the folks that are out there, or what would you like to say? We spoke about two different areas here, kind of, you know, the books that Karen has written and then these other books that others have written as well. Just let me start with you, Karen. Just one-minute summary of what we've talked about. What would you say to the listening audience about some of the books that you have, and a word of encouragement to them?
Well, I would just encourage mothers and fathers to pass on the message to their children. It's asked of us, the Lord asks, tells us in his word, to pass on to the next generation. And it's very easy to let it slip and to be that person that breaks the chain of the gospel through the generations. But with God's help, pray that you would keep faithful and pass on the word to the next generation.
Amen. Well said. And William?
You take great care about what you eat. You probably take a lot of care about your body, about the energy, the exercise you give it. Do you exercise your mind? I remember John Stott saying to me, I read 1 hour a day, one afternoon a week, one day a month, 1 week a year, and all I have learned is by standing on the shoulders of others. It is important to be disciplined about your reading. If you read 20 minutes a day, in a year you'll read 20 good Christian books. And if you do that for 40 years, you've read nearly 1,000. What you watched on the television last week, you've forgotten already. Don't waste your time. Don't destroy your mind. Don't neglect your soul. Give yourself diligently to the scriptures and to the things of the gospel, for that's what will last.
Amen. Excellent, excellent word. Let me remind our listening audience, we've been speaking for the last 45 minutes or so with William and Karen McKenzie, and they're talking to them about the ministry that they started 35 years ago, I think this year, 35 years ago, publishing books that help people to learn the Word of God. I gave you their website. Their website is www.christianfocus.com. That's www.christianfocus.com. You can go out there and find on the website, they have a, I think it's called Book Notes, and Book Notes, kind of a blog out there on Book Notes that'll tell you. I saw there this morning that the book that we were talking about related to the Ascension by Tim Chester was right on the cover of that of the homepage for the Book Notes. And so you can go out there. If you saw, we went through a number of books here, maybe 10 books or so. Their table here at the TD Convention Center, if you're right here in the Greenville area, has hundreds of books on it. So if you want to come over, if you're right here in the Greenville, South Carolina, the exhibit hall is open to the public. You don't need to register to come in to go through the exhibit hall. So you can come in and peruse the books there. A lot of the folks tend to have a special running, a convention special, so they may have that at the table as well. I don't want to put them on the spot and ask them about, oh, do you have one? What's the special?
Everything that is here is at 40% discount.
Oh, you can't beat that. Yeah, I'm getting some books. Can't beat that at 40% off. And so homeschoolers, mom and dad, you want some materials for your children, here's the opportunity to do it. Just study for the Word of God and good, biblically sound books about theology. Those are at their table as well. They're located right at the end of the exhibit hall. So when you come in the exhibit hall, if you were to take one of the aisles down right to the very end, their books store is set up facing then the entrance to the exhibit hall, and so you'd be able to see all of the material that they have here. Thank you very much, folks, for meeting with us this afternoon. We so enjoyed the conversation. I could talk to you folks for hours. Just a wealth of knowledge and a tremendous ministry. Highly recommend it. Again, it's www.christianfocus.com. That's christianfocus.com. We'll be back again tomorrow for a live broadcast. We'll be taping other broadcasts throughout the day, so you can join us then. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth."
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson on AM 660, and now also heard on FM 92.9.